Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome to the Business Bunker Show on KentBusinessRadio.co.uk on this Tuesday, February the 17th, and you are listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello, Mr. Andrews.
Hello.
I'm loving you in this wig.
Are you?
You're very fetching.
Listener, you wouldn't believe what she's had me do. I've been running around naked in a wig all morning, making me pose, doing silly things in a wig.
Well, you sort of look like a bit like a lioness.
A lioness?
Yes.
A lioness.
Except one of the dreadlocks fell off.
I don't even know where to start
Hold on a minute. You are a Leo.
Yeah. But lionesses don't have hair.
They do.
No, they don't.
They do. They don't have as big a hair as
they don't
the
have big manes like us male lions.
Oh, well, you look like a male lion, then.
That's more like it. Thank you.
You were quite catty this
I'm a Leo.
Morning.
I used to be something different.
You were a Pyrex.
I was a Pyrex, yeah.
The trouble is, Paul Andrews, we've worked together too long.
I know.
I know all your jokes.
I've only got one.
The Pyrex one.
Yeah, the Pyrex. That's my star sign.
What about your French?
I'm a test tube baby. What?
What about your French joke?
Oh, what, mensonge, I don't know.
That's always a good one.
That always goes down well, doesn't it?
Talking of French, look what the lovely Sunil has bought in for us. He's bought some homemade pancakes.
That's nothing French at all.
Well, no, but he's...
No, you just changed the subject, didn't you? You just go, how can we get back onto food?
Yeah.
We've been talking for 30 seconds without mentioning food.
No.
I know, let's do a diversion and talk about...
Well, you've lost the whole thread. French. La crêpe. La crêpe, monsieur.
Yeah.
Or la croque, monsieur.
They're fabulous, aren't they?
Yes.
And Sharon's bought in loads of lovely cookies and Rice Krispie cakes and stuff like that.
Yeah, with chocolate on the top.
You're made up, aren't you?
I am.
Because you've only just finished your snack, your mid-morning snack.
Well, and also...
You're after breakfast, but before lunch, but during the snack.
But we have to thank Sunil's wife for doing this. She was on her way to Sri Lanka.
Absolutely.
On the way to the airport.
I know, she got up early, especially to make us some pancakes.
She had to rustle them up.
And we're very much appreciative of it.
We are.
Mm.
So thank you. And we will. I've already had a few.
Yeah, I noticed. Yeah.
Lovely. Lovely. And I also have to thank Nothing But Snack.
Yes, yeah.
Who sent me a Valentine's card from Guernsey.
I know. Blimey.
And snacks.
Desperate, eh?
More snacks
to
get through. I only had 3 Valentine's cards this year. How many did you get?
None.
Have you ever had one?
No.
Shame, isn't it, really?
Understandable, really, isn't
Doesn't
it?
Your mum send you one?
No.
Oh.
No. No, she didn't, actually.
Who's the sponsor?
Today's sponsor is Rift Accounting, and thank you so much to them for supporting us and encouraging us. Do check them out, riftaccounting.com on their website. Do have a look at that. They're great guys that are helping you with all kinds of things, not just your accounting, but Rift Group also help you with R&D tax credits and all kinds of other things. So do check that out and have a look. We would like to hear from you, the businesses of Kent, and you can get in touch with us in all the normal ways. You can call us on 01303 874 998. That's 01303 874 998. Or you can email me at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to interact with us on the show is by tweeting me at VanillaWeb.
Sunil's pouring out the gin already.
Yeah. We've opened the Prosecco already.
Yeah.
The vodka's in full throw, and they're all inebriated over that side.
It's a lovely pen from
Sue. Can I have my pen back?
Thank you very much. No, that's another pen.
Oh, it's another one, is it?
Yeah,
oh,
I stole the other one.
She's nicked all my pens this morning, listener. So anyway, do tweet us. Tweet me at VanillaWeb. We've had a few dozen tweets in already, so do keep those coming. We have a packed lineup of fabulous guests for your enjoyment and information and perusal later on in the show. But I think we'll start off, Jules, with an email. And we've got quite a long email to read first off, haven't we?
Do you want me to read the long one first?
I think we should, yeah.
This has been sent in to us, and I actually was supposed to read it beforehand.
Which you didn't, of course.
No, I was too busy eating pancakes. It was on my mind to read it, so I do apologise.
Near enough.
But I'll tell you who it's from, first of all. Mm-hmm. It's from a young lady called Carol, it's been sent by Danielle Serpico, about a young lady called Carol.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to give you the Facebook link first, in case you want to look at it while we're chatting. It's www.facebook.com/seeingdisney. And on the Twitter, you can see them, find them at Seeing Disney, D-I-S-N-E-Y. And this is what Danielle has said. She says, close your eyes for a moment. Now, when you open them, look through a tiny hole you make with your fist. As through as though looking down the centre of a tube or a pipe. Notice what you can see and what you can't. A short while back, I met a woman whose remarkable vision touched my heart, and even though her sight is restricted to that which you've just experienced. Now, if you close your fist so there's no hole left, that 5% range of sight for you has now fully gone. And so too will Carol's sight fully disappear very shortly. My name is Daniel Serpico, and the woman who made such an impact in my life in such a short time is an Irish woman named Carol Brill. And indeed, aptly so, for Brill she is. Carol is full of life, exuberance, kindness and compassion, and she's a single mother who single-handedly raises her beautiful 7-year-old daughter, Sarah. Carol has charm, integrity, grace and a hugely adventurous spirit, and Carol also has Usher syndrome. And I think this is a rare condition because I haven't heard of Usher syndrome before. A condition that's causing hearing loss or deafness and progressive vision loss due to an eye disease called RP, retinitis pigmentosa. And the symptoms began with night blindness and then gradual loss of peripheral vision. Carol now only has 5 degrees of sight left, where most people have 180. She wears 2 hearing aids since the age of 4, and 1 in 20,000 people get Usher syndrome. Carol is a natural daredevil. She races through college, earning her degree. She threw herself out of planes for fun and is now in the process of setting up her own business and writing her first book. One thing, however, that Carol fears is not being able to see her daughter's face and her wish come true for her 8th birthday. You can see that Carol never gives Sarah presents, just wishes. Her 7th birthday was to dip her toe in Killarney Lakes, which she did. Her 6th birthday was a horse and carriage ride around St. Stephen's Green. And her wish is to celebrate her 8th birthday on the 23rd of July this year in Disney World, where her mum still, while her mum still has a tiny bit of vision left to see it with. So what we're asking is that we can help her fulfil this wish before time runs out. Carol came to see me, says Danielle, as I work as a coach and mentor, but I feel Carol helped me in so many ways also. I felt the need to turn my phone off. I felt the need, says Danielle, to do something in return, so I decided to start this campaign to help make her dream reality. Carol doesn't want sympathy or pity. She wants to be self-sufficient and be able to look after her daughter, which is why she's working very hard at present on her new business idea, and will be giving you a bespoke present as a huge thank you when you help make her and her daughter's wish come true. So they're wanting this trip to USA, and it's not solely about a visit to Disney. Carol will be participating for a second time in a research study at the National Eye Institute in Bethesda in Maryland.
Bethesda.
How do you know all this? Are you an oracle?
Brain like a planet. Here I am. Because nurse... Marvin the Paranoid Android, you know that?
Yeah,
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the
Is
Galaxy.
That you as well?
Here I am, brain like a planet, parking cars.
Yeah. Because Nurse Liz Jilson lives in Maryland, isn't she?
Yep.
This research study is looking at the historical progression of Usher syndrome before further research for treatments or cures can begin. So she's going to have some tests at the hospital, and she'll travel to Baltimore, to speak at the Foundation Fighting Blindness Visions Conference, which will be attended by over 600 people. And Sarah will fly over from Dublin to be united with Carol, and they will both then attend the Usher Coalition Family Conference in New Orleans. And from then, they want to travel to Disney World to celebrate Sarah's 8th birthday. So Carol is determined to go it alone, without a chaperone or help, even with only 5% range of vision left. And she's desperate to make this a reality. Any excess funds raised will go towards a guide dog when she gets back home. And so this is the last big milestone Carol will ever see her daughter reach. She won't see her daughter's face on the 18th or her 21st birthday or even her 9th birthday. She won't see how beautiful she looks on her wedding day or her grandchildren's faces. For Carol, maybe 100% blind by next year. So to go, as I said before, get your pen ready. I'll read out again the Facebook. You can go to a website also, which is www.gofundme.com with a slash and Seeing Disney. And you can also go onto the Facebook, which is www.facebook.com/SeeingDisney, or on Twitter at Seeing Disney. And Danielle Serpico, thank you for sending this in. We will all try and tweet this out and get behind the at Seeing Disney Twitter.
Thank you, Jules. Thank you for that very poignant plea. So do please support that. We will put links to the Facebook page and was it Go Support Me, the website?
It was 3w.gofundme.com, Seeing Disney, and the Twitter was at Seeing Disney.
Fantastic. We will put those links on the Kent Business Radio website so that you can follow up and you can support that. And we hope we get Carol and her daughter to Disney really quickly.
Very sad story, but I love the fact that they're, you know, Carol wants to be independent.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also the guide dog would be brilliant, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's an inspiring story as well as a sad story. So, yeah, absolutely. So do support that. Thank you for that. We've had loads of tweets coming in on the Twitter. I'm just going to read a few. We've had a new listener, Cuckoo Communications from Brighton, who says, "Hi, Vanilla Web, we're listening in for the first time, so thank you for joining us."
Liz Jewelson listening in Maryland. So she's been listening to the Superior Show, Scoff and Quaff, of course, 11 to 12 every day, every Tuesday. But she says she's a tad confused. E-commerce on Scoff and Quaff and eating pancakes on the Business Bunker.
Yeah, we like to keep you on your toes, Liz. We don't like to be predictable. Absolutely. F Keys, the fabulous Microsoft training company over there in Medway and Canterbury, have also tweeted in, as has the business community breakfast team, who run networking meetings in Medway and Gillingham. So thank you for those tweets. Chris Pollard has also tweeted in. Hi, Chris. Thank you for tweeting in. We do appreciate that.
Not tardy. Listening right from the beginning.
I didn't say he was listening. I just said he tweeted in.
Ah, yeah, sometimes he's a little bit tardy.
He may have scheduled the tweet just to fool us. Mm. You know what Chris can be like. He doesn't like to be pinned down in terms of where he is. He'll pop up in a minute and go, "Now I am listening."
You know that lovely couple, Barrister Broker and Laura Burton Lawrence, listening live from the M3.
Absolutely.
What are they doing on the M3?
They're on their way back from Lyme Regis.
How do you know?
Because I saw it on their Twitter handle this morning. They were in Lyme Regis.
So you know everything.
Absolutely.
It worries me.
They were having an ice cream on the beach.
What were they doing at Lyme Regis?
I don't know, but there was an older lady in the shot, so I assume one of them was taking Mum to the beach, I guess.
Well, everyone's older to you, though, aren't they? You're so young.
Well, yeah, obviously. You know, obviously.
You are a spring onion, as I said before.
A spring what? Onion?
As opposed to a spring chicken.
Yeah. Okay,
Did you get that?
Yeah, I got that. Yeah.
I thought it was quite witty.
Yeah. What you mean, I make you cry.
Well, someone said that you were a spring chicken in your wig, and I said more like spring onion.
Oh, right, okay.
Chris Pollard's having a mackerel pate and salad, crunching whilst listening.
Oh, so it's lunchtime somewhere, is it?
I do love a mackerel pate.
I'm sure you do. Whitstable Stove Shop have tweeted, "Today at 1 o'clock, dedicated to Kent businesses. It's Jules and Paul, otherwise known as Jekyll and Hyde." That's better. That's one step on from Alistair's description of
Pinky
us.
Pinky and Perky.
Which is the Pinky and Perky of radio.
Yeah.
But there you go.
But I am the perky one, so that's all right.
Really? Are you?
You're the pinky one.
Am I?
What is a pinky? That one.
That one.
Yeah, I was a bit worried I'd said something rude.
Yeah. And we've also had another new listener, Cura Energy. That's C-U-R-A, Cura Energy. And you can follow them on the Twitter, Cura Energy, C-U-R-A-E-N-E-R-G-Y, Cura Energy. And they're an energy and insulation and kind of green thing company. Eco, that's the word I was looking for, eco business. So do give them a follow on the Twitter.
Christina Moore, have you mentioned her?
No.
At Complete Org, she's a PA, passionate about organisation and efficiency, also a dog lover, a theatre lover and a food lover. She's listening in, said that you look very fetching in your wig.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, wear it all the time.
Oh, I like her. She's a new listener as well, I think.
Yeah. Laura Burton says that the young lady was her mother-in-law,
fab
Mrs. Burton.
Absolutely. Cool. So, and that's why they're on the M3, presumably.
Yeah.
Tweeting.
So Lyme Regis, is that Bristol way or not?
Dorset, isn't it?
So Broadchurch?
Quite possibly.
You don't watch telly, do you?
No.
You're too busy reading things.
Mm-hmm. The Canterbury Business Show on Friday, February the 27th, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Hi, my name's Mike Bailey, and I'm the chairperson of the Canterbury Business Show. I'm a member of Breakfast Networking Group that meets each week in Canterbury. We had funds available for the group, so we decided that we wanted to do something to help promote the businesses involved. Our networking group has 50 members, with a wide range of trades and businesses offering everything from builders to solicitors. We came up with the idea of a business show as the perfect way for everyone to show off their wares and services. We wanted to hold the event in Canterbury, as we're all based locally. I contacted Kent Cricket Club, and we were able to secure the Colin Cowdrey suite at the Spitfire St Lawrence ground for the event. The building is perfect, as it has three floors, two for exhibitors and a smaller room on the ground level where we will be holding business seminars throughout the day, and there's plenty of free parking for visitors. As well as our business group, we have stands for local Kent charities such as Kent Air Ambulance and the KM Big Charity Quiz Team. We also have stands from Kent County Cricket and Canterbury Rugby Club. So as you can see, it's a truly local and community event. For details on exhibitors and free seminars, please visit the Canterbury Business Show website at canterburybusinessshow.co.uk. You can also book your ticket for free entry at this event through the website. So if you fancy going on Friday, February the 27th, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. to the Colin Cowdrey Suite at the Kent County Cricket Ground in Canterbury, go to the canterburybusinessshow.co.uk website and book your free space, or inquire about having an exhibition stand or to attend one of the seminars.
Is it Friday the 27th?
That's what it says on the email.
Right, I'm just tweeting that out. Do you know that's the same day as my new husband's book is out?
Is that really?
Yeah.
Blimey.
Must be an
omen. And what's your new husband's book called?
It's called Frontier.
Is it really?
Frontier, yes.
Nice one, Gav.
And his website is, as you asked, www.frontierfunds.org.
Cool. I'm looking forward to reading it, actually. He's put a lot of effort into it. I mean, he had to go around the world for 9 months, but, you know, I mean,
get away from me.
Exactly. I wasn't going to say anything, you know.
I will say, behind every, what is the saying? Behind Sue, behind every great man, there's a wonderful woman or something. All those little roast chickens I did him when he was beavering away, and all the little chicken soups.
All
I
the
did.
Little bowls of chicken soup to make you feel better.
But you know what I'm doing now? Because I did this Vietnamese cookery class last
Thursday. Was it Chinese something you were talking
Vietnamese.
About?
Oh, right. Vietnamese. Oh, it's fab. And now I've gone all Vietnamese, so my chicken soup is now Vietnamese chicken soup.
Oh, right.
It's
pho. All ginger and
it's
stuff.
It's pho.
Is it, really?
Yeah, pho. Am I saying it right? Pho. Huh? Pho Nang.
Quite possibly.
Pho Nang.
So did you enjoy that?
I absolutely had a ball, and we had wine as well, which was pleasant.
No.
Yeah.
They gave you wine.
No, this is an...
with knives involved.
Yeah, great shot. Big knives.
Yeah.
But we were very good, because we have a lawyer, a barrister here, traffic. And there's always a dilemma, isn't there, when you're driving somewhere, and it was quite in the country. It was Battlesmere, near Faversham. And I was very careful. I only had one glass with my luncheon. You know, I was thinking of having more and calling Paul Andrews to come get me, which he frequently does if I get stuck.
She frequently calls me at very odd hours of the day and night. I was telling someone the other day, I once got a phone call at 4 a.m. from Jules in Spain, who was at a karaoke.
Were you in Spain?
No, I was in bed asleep.
All right.
You rang me at 4 o'clock in the morning going, hello, it's Jules. I'm up next on a karaoke. What shall I sing? I don't know.
I was ever so good.
Yeah, I bet.
But what did you tell me to sing? Something awful.
I think the second word was off, actually.
Yeah. Right, okay. Anyway.
Yeah. So, go on.
Have you got in a tussle?
Mm.
Right, well, I was just about to say that Friday the 27th is that business show in Canterbury. So I might toddle along, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. The County Cricket Round.
I'm going to mention it in my fabulous business column this week.
Are you?
If I can squeeze it on the bottom. I'll read something now. Sorry, I was tweeting.
No, before you do, I'm going to read this because it's relevant to what you were just saying, because it's another Chinese food-related thing.
I have a pancake.
There's Chinese and beer night. To help celebrate the Chinese New Year, we will be hosting our very first Chinese and beer evening on the 19th of February. That'll be Thursday, won't it? We also succumbed to a bit of peer pressure from a few non-curry likers. And this is from Paul Kane, who normally has the curry and beer nights.
Who would not like curry?
Yeah, exactly. Well, they're going to do a Chinese and beer night for a change, because it's Chinese New Year. The cost per head will be £25, payable on the night. The venue is Ginny's Kitchen, which is 2 West Street, Bromley, and that's BR1 1RF, and it's from 6:30 p.m. And the restaurant are pretty keen to have numbers as soon as possible, so if you'd like to come, please let us know as soon as you can. And you can do that by ringing Paul on 01689 768 273, or you can email info@caneandbeer.co.uk. That's CAINANDBWER, Cane and Beer. Or you can visit their website and book your ticket, www.caneandbeer.com. That's CAINANDBWER.com. If you want to find the link to caneandbeer.com, there is a community page on the Kent Business Radio website, and all of the things that we talk about are listed there in terms of events, networking, charities, and all the other things can be found there. So do have a look there. And Cane and Beer are there. They do have one of their normal curry and beer nights as well, and that's on the 26th of February. And it's at the very popular New India restaurant from 6:30 p.m.
Huh? What's going on over there?
You're just burping and...
Burping?
You need to breathe, darling, breathe.
I wasn't burping.
I'm going to make him go for elocution lessons.
The usual format will apply. You will get a selection of starters, your choice of main course, together with rice and breads, and one drink, all for a crisp £20 note. It's a great way for local businesses to make new contacts while enjoying great food in a relaxed atmosphere. Again, same contact details. Go to their website, caneandbeer.com, to book beer and curry night. Good.
I'm just looking at my scoff and quaff timeline. It's very, very interesting. There's Rupert Connolly popping up there, and he says... this is the scoff and quaff timeline, much more interesting.
How is it?
It says, this is Rupert Connolly, he says, Mark at Mark Wilson, who I've talked to on technical issues before, seems very competent, hence I recommended him for my brother at scoff quaff. So this, is that you, brother, that he's talking about, or are there more brothers? And it's
yeah,
Sunil.
He's probably talking about me, yeah.
This is Sunil talking now.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah. I need to look at the thread of all this conversation. This was on Scoff and Quaff. I missed it all.
Yeah,
so
should we do our show now, rather than follow up on your disaster of a show earlier?
Someone said last week that it turned into the Scoff and Quaff show on here. Who was
what
that?
A surprise.
Who Kel was that?
Surprise, I've no idea.
I'll just read something now without
very quickly, because I want to play a record.
BSK-CIC. Do you know them? They're delighted to be running.
I didn't get that.
BSK-CIC. That's what they're called. They're delighted, Paul Andrews, to be running a series of seminars to accelerate your business.
That's a community interest company.
Okay, I knew you'd know. We invite you, they say, to attend this one-day event that promises to deliver professional speakers and industry experts who will address the barriers to growth for startups and high growth SMEs. They've got Mimi Anderson. What a name. I like that name. She's an ultra runner as a guest speaker.
She's a very good speaker as well. I've heard her speak. She spoke, if you remember, Jules, you've heard her speak too, because she spoke at the Kent Women in Business Awards that we both attended.
Oh, yes, I do remember her. Smallish, very,
very,
very smart, gorgeous.
Yes,
I do remember her.
Yep.
Didn't have a barrister's wig on at the time. Mm. And also David Fenn, who's the founder of the British Assessment Bureau, and he'll talk about how to take a micro business to the next level and how owner-managers can relax on holiday like that. Hilary Steele will go through some of the common mistakes business owners make and show you how to use them to your future advantage. Then there's lunch. Let's tell you about this. You need to go to www.eventbrite.co.uk, accelerate your business. But I prefer to go to the Kent Business Radio website, kentbusinessradio.co.uk, and it'll be on there.
Cool. Thank you. Do you know what we're going to do now?
Tunage.
We're going to play a bit of tunage, because we got a
What's your favourite colour car? Is it red?
Blue.
Is it red?
It is.
Yeah, I thought it might be.
We're going to play a bit of tunage because our next couple of guests coming up on the show that we're going to talk to shortly after this are kind of car-related.
Lovely little link.
Yeah, so what do you think?
Oh, you like a Corvette, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Do you?
With ice cream on top?
Ha, 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 ha.
Maybe Taywell's Corvette.
A little red Corvette.
Lovely.
I guess I should know by the way you parked your car sideways at a windlass. You're the kind of person that believes in making out once, love them and leave them fast. I guess I must be dumb. She had a pocket full of horses, Trojan and some abuse. But it was Saturday. I guess that makes it alright. You see, what have I got to lose? Money, I say. Little red Corvette. Baby, you're much too fast. Ooh, eyes when you drove me to the place where your horses run free. So I felt a little ill when I saw all the pictures of the jockeys that were there before me. Believe it or not, I started to worry. I wondered if I had enough class. But it was Saturday night.
There are small business owners like you claiming back on average £46,000 from the government. You see, the government wants to reimburse companies for innovation. What does this mean for you? Well, put simply, if your staff have spent time and resources developing your business, you could claim back cash. We're RIFT. We're specialists in preparing claims for small businesses. To find out from RIFT if your business is eligible, visit innovationreward.co.uk.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk with me, Paul Andrews, and Jules Serkin on Tuesday, February the 17th.
That was a bit of Prince. Yeah, it was lovely, wasn't it?
Corvette. Absolutely. Look, it's an absolute pleasure to welcome to the Business Bunker show for the first time.
At last.
Yeah. Mr. Sunil Rupathina.
Morning.
Hiya. I want Sunil to kind of approach this in an interesting way. Sunil is a barrister, and he specialises in motoring law. But the first thing that we need to kind of discuss is the fact that he's a barrister that you can engage, because so many people still don't realise that changes have happened in the legal profession over the last few years that enable you to go direct to a barrister. Is that not true, Sunil?
That's right. I mean, for all of the last century, the public could not approach a barrister directly. Mm. If they had any kind of a legal problem, they had to go via a solicitor. Mm. And if a barrister's expertise was required, it was the solicitor who actually had the contractual relationship with the barrister. Mm. But in 2004, in a little-known regulatory change, something called public access for barristers was brought in, which means that members of the public can come straight to a barrister for legal services. They don't need to go via a solicitor at all.
Right. And that's still something that people aren't used to, really, isn't it? Even though it's, what, nearly 10 years now that it's been available. So many people, I guess because a lot of us don't have recourse to the law, thankfully, too often, so that when we do, we don't always think about this, do we?
Well, that's right. I mean, the bar isn't set up for access to the public. In essence, they practice in groups called chambers in central London. Mm. It's solicitors who have high street offices, and obviously they don't advertise the fact that you can now come direct to barristers.
Sure.
That was my question. You know, how do solicitors feel about this sort of change?
Who cares?
Oh, I'm interested.
Well, I think there's a mixed reaction, actually. Mm. So, for example, there are solicitors who, let's call them generalists, who would take on somebody, for example, with a road traffic matter, but they might not actually be used to dealing with it. Mm. On the other hand, I met a partner in a large firm in Kent the other day, and they don't do any kind of crime or road traffic. And he immediately took my card and said, Sunil, we've got lots of clients. Occasionally they come to us with a road traffic matter. We can't represent them, but we'd love to know somebody who was an expert specialist that we can refer them to.
Sure.
So I think when you have specialist solicitors or solicitors who practice in areas other than crime and they don't include road traffic, they're actually pleased to have an expert specialist to whom they can refer their clients.
Absolutely.
It's the smaller solicitors who tend to take on a bit of everything who perhaps among some of them aren't particularly pleased that public access is now out there.
Absolutely. And from a public access point of view, I guess for you as a barrister, that has changed the way that you do business as well, because now you've got to kind of get yourself out there so that people know you.
Well, exactly. So thanks very much for inviting me on the
absolute
show, Paul.
Pleasure.
I mean, when I first came to the bar, literally, barristers didn't even carry business cards. Mm. They couldn't advertise. It wasn't the done thing. Mm. Now, for those barristers who seek to obtain work direct from the public, obviously, first of all, they have to make it known that there is something called public access. It isn't necessary to go through a solicitor anymore. Mm. And secondly, they have to network, they have to go on the radio, they have to use social media. They have to become modern businessmen, just the way solicitors have been all these years.
Sure.
They're not used to it, so it's a culture shock for them. Mm. Okay. And most of them are still practicing in their tight-knit groups in chambers in London. Mm. Very few actually come away from that setup as I have done.
Sure.
And of course, tweeting when you're in a legal business is always a minefield anyway, isn't it? You know, you can't just tweet anything. So you're always going to be, in your profession, very careful about social media and what you say.
Well, that's an interesting point, Jules, because I was kind of wondering before Paul gets on to asking me detailed questions about the law. You know, you do have to be careful. Mm. The listener has to bear in mind this is a radio show. I don't know what questions are coming. I'm going to be saying things in a few minutes' time. But strictly speaking, when you're talking about the law, you have to be absolutely precise.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We won't talk about that case we were talking about earlier. Oh, no. Absolutely. I just want to, before we get on to some more technical stuff, as you just alluded to, Sunil, I just want to...
Did he allude? Or is that legal speak?
No, that was me being legal. I got a wig and everything.
Yeah.
I know.
He alluded.
It was alleged.
Alleged.
Yeah. I've forgotten what I was going to ask.
Well, I was going to ask.
No, I was going to ask.
I was going to ask, What kind of things are you seeing more speeding now because of all these? I was reading that how many 18 more speed cameras on the motorways hidden?
Well, before we get into that, because I wanted to follow this in a kind of process.
You've got an agenda.
Yeah, well, kind of. I want people to understand where we're coming from here. And there's loads of motoring things we want to talk about because that's Sunil's area of expertise. But I'm still want to explore this engaging a barrister in the first place.
Oh, yeah.
Syndrome, because it's something that people need to think about. So, at what point do you kick in? So, what I'm trying to get at is, you know, when do I know that I need a barrister, if you see what I mean?
All right. So, in my case, I mean, there are barristers who cover all kinds of work. For example, I know you had the barrister broker on the show.
We love him. A couple
of weeks ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
And through him, you can access public access barristers in a range of different fields.
Yeah.
But in my case, I'm specialising in road traffic law.
Yeah.
So if somebody is being prosecuted for any road traffic offence, then I would advise them, unless it's a very simple thing. If it's a simple thing, you may as well deal with it yourself. If it's a speeding ticket or if it's a parking ticket or something like that, it's not going to be worth your while in all probability engaging a lawyer. But if, for example, you've had a succession of speeding tickets, let's say you've had four SP30s, standard speeding tickets, and you've got to 12 points, you're then liable to a minimum 6-month ban unless you can show exceptional circumstances. So, for example, I recently had a lady who rang me on the phone. She'd got to 12 points. But because the earliest points on her licence were about to drop off, just over 3 years, you've got to have 12 points for offences within 3 years of each other.
Right.
And her earliest points were nearly 3 years old at the time she got the latest penalty.
Right.
So she thought at worst she'd be liable to a 2-week ban. So when I explained to her that it was in the ordinary course of events, a minimum 6-month ban, she just burst out crying.
Right.
Because what it means to her to lose her driving license.
Livelihood.
Right. Yeah.
Well, in her case, her kids have got medical problems. She needs to take them about.
Right.
It's her livelihood. Her husband depends on her. He's got medical problems.
Right.
And the realisation of what was at stake just hit her in that moment.
Right.
But without going into details of any individual case, what I can say is that if you can argue that you would suffer exceptional hardship, and that really does mean exceptional, then there's a discretion in the court not to disqualify you. So there is hope if you come within that category. But I think going back to your earlier point, Andrew, it is important, Paul. It is important to point out that when you come to a public access barrister, you've got to be able to deal with those matters which a solicitor would otherwise have dealt with.
Right.
So, for example, usually public access barristers aren't litigators. You can apply for a litigator certificate, but I personally don't want to be a litigator. I'm a specialist advocate. I'm a barrister. That's why I went to the bar.
Yeah.
So I don't want to, even though I could easily obtain it, apply for a litigator certificate and start doing that bit of investigatory work, in administrative work, that a solicitor would normally do. I'd rather leave that to solicitors.
Right.
Now, if somebody comes to me and they've got a road traffic matter, the beauty of it is that in a lot of cases there is no real litigation type work or administrative work. So, for example, if somebody's pleading guilty to an offence, let's say they've got to 12 points and they just want to admit they've got to 12 points and try and escape a ban, then all that's required is they get their mitigation together.
Right.
So, for example, with the lady I was talking about earlier, I had a couple of Skype chats with her. I explained to her, get a social worker's statement about that, get a doctor's report about that, get a statement from the school about that, get a statement from your work about that. And the lady concerned got all the statements together and a great big bundle came through my post. Now, if you, as a member of the public, can do things like that, if you know how to use a computer, send and scan documents, if you can follow my instructions as to how to collect the material you need for your representation, then you can consider avoiding a solicitor altogether, because why duplicate the time and costs involved?
Absolutely.
But there are cases, I mean, it's right to say, there are cases where most people would need a solicitor. So let's say you were dealing with a road traffic trial. Mm. Let's say you're being prosecuted for driving without due care and attention. Let's say, Jules, you're suddenly prosecuted on the way home today.
Quite right, too.
eating a pancake.
Yeah. whilst tweeting, yeah.
Eating one of my wife's pancakes whilst tweeting. Yeah, yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah.
So let's say you choose to contest the charge for some reason known only to you. But I'm a lawyer, so I follow instructions. I advise you as to the law, but ultimately it's up to you if you want to contest the allegation. Mm. Now, supposing Paul wasn't in the passenger seat and you had no witnesses, then probably the only witnesses who are going to be called are witnesses for the Crown, perhaps the people in the other car. So really the investigatory work in your case wouldn't be much more than you providing me with a statement. So again,
even maybe a pancake.
That might be payment, yes. Yeah. But the point I make is that even in contested cases, it doesn't mean a solicitor's expertise or experience is required, because if there isn't much investigatory work to do, or even if there is, if you're capable of doing it, then again, ask yourself, why instruct a solicitor? Now, I'm not saying don't instruct a solicitor. I'm saying just have a look at what's now available.
Right. Cool. I want to come on to something, and I don't want to lead the witness here. Did you see what I did there?
You can take the wig off now, Paul.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to make a statement. You don't have to say anything to this statement, but we're going to
But whatever you do say,
maybe taken down. And you got it. Some time ago, in cases of drink and drive cases, some people, as part of their mitigation, would claim that they were dosed up on various over-the-counter medicines. There's been a recent change in the law and that, and I'd like you, if you could, to tell us a bit about that, because I think an awful lot of people don't know about this. But I'm going to stop talking in legalese. One of the products that people were using in mitigation for drink drivers, they had a cold and have been dosed up on things like Night Nurse. And Night Nurse is one of those products now that contains drugs that are now effectively will get you nicked for driving while drugged, for want of a better term. Could you expand on that a bit?
Does Night Nurse have a warning on the packet?
I don't know. We'll find out from Sunil in a moment, I guess.
All right. So, well, this is a particularly interesting development in the law. If I can, just to put it in context, explain where we are as at today's date. So as of today, there's a drink driving law. There is also an offence of being unfit to drive through drink or drugs. Now, in order to prosecute somebody for being unfit to drive through drugs, the Crown has to show impairment of the ability to drive, that they were unfit to drive. And the government has become concerned that in an awful lot of cases where people have been taking drugs, they can't necessarily prove any unfitness to drive. And so, albeit belatedly, because this is a problem which has been in existence for years, the government has finally got round to doing something about it in the form of the Crime and Courts Act 2013. Now, what that Act does, it inserts a new Section 5A into the 1988 Road Traffic Act. Section 5 deals with what's known as drink driving, and Section 5A deals with what's going to become known, I think, as drug driving. Now, there are two categories, broadly speaking, of drug that are going to apply in this instance. There are proscribed drugs, that's proscribed with an O, in other words, illicit drugs like cocaine or heroin or something like that. And then there are prescribed drugs, in other words, drugs you are lawfully prescribed by your GP or some other medical professional.
So that might be antidepressants or something like that?
Yeah, absolutely. So things like diazepam, temazepam, lorazepam. There's a lot of drugs which are diagnosed for things like anxiety, depression, insomnia, all these common conditions.
Hay fever?
Well, In terms of, I'm not a doctor, so I've got to be careful, but obviously I've done a little bit of reading about it. And there are very common drugs indeed used for very, very common conditions, which are now specified under this new legislation. Now, the fundamental difference is that the Crown does not have to prove unfitness to drive for you to commit the offence. So, if you are...
Let me just clarify that. So basically what we're saying now is we've taken away the burden of unfitness. So as long as the Crown can prove that you had diazepam in your system in sufficient quantities, that's enough to prove you unfit to drive. Is that how it works?
Well, let's take the basic offence. If you are driving, attempting to drive, or in charge of a motor vehicle on a road or other public place, and you have in your blood system above the prescribed limit of any one of the specified drugs, then you commit this offence whether or not there's any impairment to drive.
Right.
So you might be driving in a perfectly stable fashion, but if you are tested and found to have in excess of one of these specified drugs, then I'm afraid you commit the offence. Now, I know there's going to be a lot of people listening who are terrified, thinking, hang on a minute, I'm on those drugs, or I've been on them, or my partner is, or my children are. What the public should be aware of is that, as I mentioned earlier, there are the two categories. So where you're dealing with proscribed illicit drugs, the levels which you are allowed to have in your system before you commit the offence are minute. So a trace quantity of a certain type of drug, there's different levels for each drug. The government specified different levels for each drug. But a trace level, say, for example, of cocaine in your bloodstream. So if you've had a bit of cocaine in the nightclub the night before or an ecstasy tablet and you're driving the next day and you've still got a trace level in your system, then you, I'm afraid, are going to fall foul of the rules and are liable to prosecution.
Right.
Now, turning to the legitimately prescribed drugs for that your doctor's prescribed, thankfully the government obviously recognises that there are millions of people on these drugs, and therefore the level that has to be found in your bloodstream before you are found to have committed an offence is higher.
Right. Okay.
Now, of course, the fear, I suppose, is that you could be given a high dose of a certain type of drug, one of the very common drugs I've described for insomnia, anxiety, depression. The fear that the public will legitimately have, I think, is that if I've been given a high dose of this drug, they might not even know what a high dose is. How do I know that if I drive, I won't be in excess of the lawfully prescribed limit? Now, I've been looking at some of the pronouncements of Robert Goodwill, the Minister for Roads, and I don't necessarily concur with every single thing he said, but he is at pains to emphasise that if you are simply taking drugs you've been prescribed by a doctor, you follow the instructions he's given you, you follow the instructions that the manufacturer or the supplier give you. So usually when you take drugs, there's a little instruction leaflet. Insofar as those instructions are consistent with the instructions you've been given by the person who prescribed or supplied the drug, so long as you follow those two sets of instructions, then you are not going to be guilty of an offence. But you still have to be careful, because it doesn't necessarily mean you're not going to exceed any of the specified limits. So what the government has done is they have provided a defence to the charge. Now, this doesn't mean that you won't be prosecuted, I regret to say. What it means is it is a defence to the charge. So here we go back to, I'm not reading out the Act, so this is just off the top of my head in essence. But the defence is, if you have been prescribed a drug for medical or dental purposes, and you have followed the instructions you were given by the person who prescribed them, as well as any instructions consistent with the instructions of the prescriber provided by the manufacturer, then that will afford you a defence.
Right.
There's a proviso in there, there always is. You must be careful, because if, for example, this prescriber tells you, well, don't drive within a certain period of taking this drug, if you're found to have breached that, it won't avail you, it won't provide you with a defence.
Right, okay. It's a little bit of a minefield again, isn't it? Yeah.
Because in the old days, they would test for drugs, from what I've read, Sunil, is by just walking along the line the old-fashioned way. Is that right? Well, for cannabis and things.
I think that's going back quite a while.
But now they do a blood test.
She is old, though, Sunil.
Now they do a blood test.
Well, there's a whole series of new tests coming in. There's what they call a, I think they call it a field impairment test. And various drug elisers. I mean, they're developing equipment all the time. I was reading they want to get to the stage where they can test through your skin.
Right.
So some drugs, they're not really going to know.
You'll be all right, Paul, because you're thick-skinned.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think unless they take a blood test for some drugs, they're not going to know. There are other tests which they can, other drugs for which they can test at the roadside.
Right, okay. So it's a whole interesting field of potentiality here to fall foul of again. I mean, I guess, as you kind of alluded to, Sunil, the, with things like drinking and driving, we all know about that now. And whilst it's not easy to guess how much alcohol is in anything, there's one really easy way of avoiding drinking and driving.
Call Paul Andrews.
Which is not drinking, basically. Although I have a little bit, I'm teetotal, so I'm okay with this
kind
of stuff.
Which is why I call Paul Andrews.
Yeah, yeah. She hates it. But basically, one of the things that I see being teetotal is how quickly people get over the limit, and also how people are still over the limit the next day. And that's one of the things that always worries me. But leaving aside that, there, as someone that's going to drink, you have to do what Jules does and call me and I'll come and pick you up. But with prescription drugs, you're in a slightly different position, aren't you? Because you can't just go, do you know what, I'm going to go out later, so I won't take my prescription. I mean, that's just nonsense.
It's also diabetics, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think you have to be careful at times.
Yeah.
Well, you see, what you've got to remember is the existing law, this new law, by the way, comes into effect in England and Wales on the 2nd of March.
Right, okay.
But the existing law about being unfit to drive through drink or drugs still applies. Now, the worrying thing, I think it's worrying anyway, although the government and its spokespersons seem to be trying to reassure people all the time. But what concerns me about this is when I see that Robert Goodwill is quoted by the BBC as saying that if you're worried about it and you're on a high dose of some kind of prescription drug, just take your prescription with you. It might save you a lot of trouble. Now, that strikes me as an amazing thing to say. Is the minister saying that if you're on lawfully prescribed drugs, if you want to avoid being arrested and carted off to the police station, you should take with you evidence of your medication? He is saying that, as quoted by the BBC. But the difficulty with that is this. For example, supposing you're a police officer and somebody has tested positive, i.e. above the specified level, let's say for temazepam or something like that. You produce a prescription to show him, hang on, I'm lawfully on these drugs. How does that officer know that you haven't taken twice the amount that was prescribed to you?
Absolutely.
Yeah. How does he know that the doctor didn't tell you, oh, by the way, when you take these drugs, don't drive for 6 hours?
Yeah.
So I think that advice is deficient, actually.
Yeah.
And I can only advise the public to be extremely careful if they're on any legitimately prescribed medicines. In fact, what I would do, I haven't noticed the government saying this, but I would be very careful about speaking to your doctor, asking him about the drug, how much you should take, when you should take it, whether it will have any effect upon your driving. Personally, I would also ask the pharmacist when I obtain that prescription, because I'd want to know that the pharmacist tells me the same thing as the doctor.
Absolutely.
And perhaps have a letter from them in your glove. Glove compartment.
Well, if you listen to the road minister, yeah. But also, if I can just add,
yeah.
You should really take out those leaflets that come with the pack and you should read that from end to end.
Mm.
Because you've got to make sure you're acting in accordance with the advice of the manufacturer or distributor, insofar as it's consistent with, again, I'm using the words in the Act, insofar as it's consistent with the advice given to you by the person who's prescribed you the drug.
Cool.
Well, see, you're teetotal, but if you were on medication, you'd still have similar problems.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. So, I mean, it's something that applies to everyone. Mm. It's not, you know, that's why it's kind of a very different set of circumstances to people that are going out partying.
Mm.
This... You can get clobbered by this by being completely unsuspecting. If you've been out on the res, you know you've had a couple of drinks. And most people fool themselves. They go, I only had one. And they go, really? I was watching.
Yeah, and glasses are large.
Yeah, yeah. But you know that you've gone out and you've consumed alcohol. And the minute you do that, you stand a chance of being over the limit. You know that. And that's the choice that you make. But with prescription drugs, it's not as straightforward, and people don't think about it. You know, you take prescription drugs when a doctor would prescribe them. You get up, you go, you drive to work.
Yeah.
You could conceivably be stopped and commit a traffic offence without even thinking about it, knowing about it, or being aware of it. And that's the difference, I think, in this, and why we have to look at it. We could talk about this subject forever and ever and ever. Unfortunately, we're kind of running out of time. So, Neil, what I'd like you to do is give our listeners a shout out for how they can get hold of you, should they be in the unfortunate position of needing to talk to you. How can we get hold of you? How can we follow you on Twitter? What's your website? All that kind of stuff.
Okay, so my website is Kent Traffic Law, so www.kenttrafficlaw.co.uk.
Cool.
And on the website, you can see methods of contacting me.
Okay.
My Twitter handle is Sunil Rupasingha. So, but Kent Traffic Law is my business, and as I say, the website's out there.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us, Sunil. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank your lovely wife for her gorgeous pancakes.
Yes.
Do stay with us for the rest of the show. But for the moment, traffic barrister and specialist Sunil Rupasingha, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks, Paul.
Cool.
I need to check that. Sorry, Paul. KentTrafficLaw.co.uk.
Yeah.
There is a link on the Kent Business Radio website already. You can link through to the website directly from our website. So if you can't find it, it is on the Kent Business Radio website. We've had a tweet from the lovely Sally Laker, who's saying, yeah, hey, it's Business Bunker Day, and she's listening in. That's Sally for Cakes over there in Whitstable. I think, Jules, we need to crack on. Because...
Do you like me to read something?
I think we've got a lot of stuff to get through and not much time to do it.
Marketing Strategies for Small Business. There's an interesting workshop entitled Marketing Strategies for Small Business. It's run by Kent Adult Education and it's going to be held at Maidstone Enterprise Centre. Particular workshop is designed for those interested in understanding and identifying effective marketing strategies for small business and for sole traders. And the course is run on Thursday, the 26th of February, between 15:30 and 3:30 and 5:30.
It's sometime in the afternoon.
Yeah, PM.
Yeah.
Go to Adult Education, which is www.kentadulteducation.co.uk, and then look on the Marketing Strategies for Small Business bit there.
Cool.
There's also a free ebook to improve the success of your business. And this is from Live and Social, Natasha. You can contact her on Twitter at Live and Social, spelled A-N-D, Live and Social. And she says, if you've hit a rough patch in your relationship with your blog, or you want some content and community manager at Live and Social help, it's the blog relationship counsellor to help you. So, again, go to www.liveandsocial.com to find out about this ebook.
Fantastic. We're going to have a quick break and we'll be back with our next guest shortly after that.
Bye-bye.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
I love you. How many years is that?